I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
And we are live on a Sunday night, Oscars night, the day that time jumps forward for everybody, which is why I don't feel like it's that late, but it says 10 o'clock. But it feels like 9 o'clock in my body.
It sure does. And the fact that's what the clocks that don't automatically set say, the one on the stove and the one on the microwave. It's like it is 9 o'clock.
Yeah, but it's a good Sunday. And I said, you know what? I went out for a nice walk again. I did some stretching. I played video games and all kinds of stuff. Feel nice and rested and relaxed. And I cooked some nice chicken wraps.
It was delicious.
Yeah, got that recipe off of Instagram.
Shout out to Instagram.
Yeah, it was just like that one I made where I made the Big Mac tacos. Like I'll just go to that account and it's like, I think I can make that, and I did make it. And so I feel energized and like, let's do it. Let's do a show. And Karen felt like it, so that's why we're doing this show at like 10 o'clock on Sunday.
But it don't feel like 10.
Yeah, but even though 9 o'clock on Sunday is still late for us, but
right.
we that's why we're doing it at this time.
Yeah, this weekend's been very peaceful. I just laid around and rest because, you know, me and Roger.
Well, we did our show and then we did Three Guys On too.
Yeah.
So we did do stuff yesterday.
You're right, and I think with me increase exercise stuff like that, my body was like, okay, it's time to rest. So particularly yesterday, I was like. I was very tired. I woke up. It was today.
The Oscars are on in the background. I have watched some this year. I normally don't watch the Oscars, but I was flipping back and forth between watching that terrible Knicks and Sixers game, which was a knockdown, drag out, throwback to the 80s. It killed the whole narrative that NBA scoring is out of control.
Right.
It's not out of control. It's very in control. Just depends.
Depends on the teams. Depends on the defense.
But anyway, the official weapon of the show is...
Phone chair.
An unofficial sport.
Bullet ball.
A bullet ball. Extreme. And there's plenty of stuff to get into, of course. I guess we could do some banter if you have banter you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you know what that means. If we're doing banter, I got to play some music. So let me play Stop. That's the name of this beat.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Like that breakdown there. All right, Karen, give me some banter.
One of the banters I had kind of talked about on Three Guys On, but I hadn't talked about on here. As you get older, as women, your testosterone level goes up and your estrogen level goes down. So you start getting, I know for me, I start getting like facial hair, particularly around on my neck and like on my chin. And it was just very irritating to keep up with the growth of it. Like, I had things, you know, I've got, like, the shaving cream from Bevel, like, the standard thing from Bevel, and I have like these mini things where I can kind of clip small hairs, but sometimes it becomes very irritating. So I had seen that Bevel had an electric shaving thing, and I bought it, and I absolutely love it. It rolls on your skin like motherfucking butter. I love it, and I like it because it gets really deep, and it doesn't take a lot of effort. And you, because with the traditional shaving thing, which I don't mind, but it's a lot of prep. You know, you got to get the cream together, you got to put it on your skin, like. And for me, I'm like, I just want to cut this shit so I'm going about my business. And so I was like, well, let me see this. I know I went Nick and like go below the skin and things like that, because it's designed, you know, not to do that. And I absolutely love it.
Yeah. the thing with Bevel, and you were making me think about this, it's designed for black skin. It's designed for black hair, especially like 4C hair. I don't, not saying there isn't anything, but it's like, I haven't seen the ads for it. I haven't seen anything on TV that are ads for specifically black women needing to shave. Like, I've seen,
yes,
like stuff where women need to shave. Here's a pink razor. Here's this, that, and the other. And, you know, it's probably got a little bit different scent or something. Obviously, they make the branding pink, but obviously there's no razor that can be sold to women that men can't, you know, vice versa.
Right.
Probably just put a little pink extra charge on it and,
yeah, woman's
and
charge.
Sell it to women. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was thinking like specifically black women need their own like shaving products or whatever. And mm-hmm. I guess obviously Bevel fits that mold. You don't have to be a man to use Bevel, but mm-mm. It's interesting because you were talking about how it goes deep. That's the thing. Bevel doesn't really go deep. And the reason it can't go deep is because if you cut black hair underneath the skin, like white hair, you can cut subdermally. And a lot of times they won't get as bad of razor bumps and stuff. But black people get razor bumps from that mm-hmm. shit.
Because your hair get caught up underneath the skin.
Yeah. And so it cuts it low enough that it's not visible, but not so low that you end up with a breakout on your face.
Okay, you're right.
And I think that's what I love about Bevel too. So yeah, it's cool that you found something.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't know, like you said, if I've been talking about it or what, but you know the algorithm. So periodically when I go on Facebook, I didn't even know they had an electric version of it. But it was like, hey, we got like an electric, and I kept seeing it. And I was like, you know what? I think I might get it. And like I said, I have other things for like if you're in a pinch, you just want to cut something real quick. But, you know, every now and then, about every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I like to go and just give it like a real good shave. And with this, even if I do it more frequently, it's just not as much of a hassle for me. Because like I said, I don't mind the traditional shaving thing from them, but it's a lot of stuff. Steps for me. So I was like, this is something quick, something fast, something I can do and not spend a lot of time maintaining and just kind of go on with whatever my routine is if I see the hairs kind of sticking out of my neck and stuff like that. And on top of that, it's something that women deal with, particularly women once you cross a certain age, no matter your race. And like you say, I'm amazed that they don't talk about it. They do it about here's plucking, here's waxing, but you know, or either get the thing where you kill the hair and stuff. But some people go, well, I don't want to kill the hair, I might not want to wax, I might not want to pluck. So it's like you kind of limit it.
Well, I know it also costs more for certain treatments like lasering and stuff.
It's very expensive,
though. It's like permanent and stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's dope. Maybe somebody out there could be helped by that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, you ever be watching amateur porn and you hear a good song in the background and you be like, I'm gonna listen to that after I bust this nut? That's
hilarious.
That's kind of, you know, something that I've been on lately. I was watching some old school amateur porn, probably just somebody's cuckold video from the 80s or something. I don't know how, why it was so old, but the music in the background, it was like, it was playing like some old 80s shit that I was like, oh man, I what happened to that song? You know, it's like, Your Love Needs an Encore. Okay, well, let me add that to my Spotify playlist for later. You know, it's like the opposite of a spank bank. It's a listening bank.
I can see that. I see somebody in the chat room said that they surprised they don't put a guide together for women because nobody gives a fuck about women. Let's just keep that real. Like when it comes,
or it might exist.
Okay.
We have done zero research.
I mean, put it like this. If it does exist, they have not done a good job to let the masses know. Put it like that. All right.
Hey, whatever y'all want to say is fine. I'm just pointing out that it may exist. That's all. Not saying y'all wrong.
Yeah, because you asked questions. Or whatever,
but people say stuff. We ain't fact checked nothing. No. We haven't Googled out a damn thing.
Sure have not.
I don't want to roll with that. Somebody going to write in this weekend. Y'all don't know about the black women getting older guy. This song, you know, so
no,
it might exist. Someone may have done that work. We don't know about that work. But yeah, I hear what y'all saying. Because I don't think people really acknowledge aging like that anyway.
No.
There's not a getting older guy many places about anything. You know, there's a lot of commercials and ads for medicines and shit, but there's not a lot of like, hey, this is what you need to do. This is what you're looking out for.
And unless, I'll speak for myself, unless you have family members that actually tell you about it, and unless you have like a doctor that really keeps you informed, getting old shit just happens and you're like, the fuck is this? And then your doctor like, oh yeah, that's what you're supposed to go through. And you're like, well, I wish somebody would have kind of informed me and I'm not just walking out here motherfucking blind. I'm just speaking for myself. It happens a lot.
Yeah. Also, you know what else they got it probably in? Books.
True.
You know, and now we have so much media, podcast. I bet y'all, if y'all just go looking for the shit, someone's talking about it. Because motherfuckers are talking about everything these days.
Everything, ain't it?
So it's out there. Like, it's probably out there somewhere, but maybe people ain't putting it on. Do you have anything else?
Oh, I probably talk about this on Nerd Off, but I just wanted to say I finished a Vinland Saga, and it was great. And shout out to the writers, particularly in the second season. And towards the end, motherfucking bars.
Yeah, I didn't see that
shit
coming.
That shit had me like,
I know it made me cry for real at the end. I did not see Thorfinn's arc coming like that. I don't want to spoil it for y'all that haven't seen it, so I won't go into any details. Mm-hmm. But I have never seen writing like that like fully matured and redeemed a character. Pretty much ever. I honestly put it over Prince Zuko in Avatar, the animated joint. I actually put it over that, as far as just where they took that character from to where that character got to, and the way they kind of flipped everything I was expecting in the second season. Because the whole second season I spent waiting on him to just fucking like go back to the old me. They was testing them.
Wouldn't it all?
And I said, okay, yeah, I see this is where this is going. Especially like when the old crew showed up to the farm. I said, okay, yeah, he got a reason to want to like, he finally has enough reason to go back to his old life. And man, oh my God, what a fucking epic tale.
Yeah, it's a great story. I don't know if they're going to come out with a season 3. They actually don't need to, but if they do, I would just love to see where that adventure fucking takes them.
Yeah. I was so high last night that I finally figured out why they call that hat store Lids. I don't know why. I didn't know that before, but I was just sitting
That's
around.
Hilarious.
I was thinking about that, and then the Grand Theft Auto Vice City. I know it's Miami Vice, and it takes place in Miami, but also it's Grand Theft Auto. It's full of vices. You go and do drugs and have sex with prostitutes and kill people and shit. I don't know. I was having all kinds of epiphanies last night. I don't know. It just kicked in. I was like, oh shit.
That's hilarious.
And then I guess my last one is Caitlin Clark is like that, and I refuse to hate her. Black History Month is over.
Child,
so I can admit it. It's women's history now.
She's a motherfucking beast.
It's women's history. I'm rooting for her. I want her to win the championship this year because
I'm rooting for her too.
People being a little too disrespectful about how she ain't won a ring and being acting like that's why they can act like she ain't shit. But the eye test is eyeing you motherfuckers, and she is beasting.
And not only her fucking teammates, Chad, because that game, it was like a senior that did a block and was like all ball. I was like, let's go, y'all, let's go. It's gonna be fun. The Final Four is gonna be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, I am completely rooting for her. I think this is her last year. She's going to go pro after this. And I'm looking forward to see what she's going to do in the WNBA.
And LSU and South Carolina got in a scrap today in their game. And Kim Mulkey was talking shit in the press conference because she ain't got no class. And I hope they play in the tournament again because those two teams hate each other. Mm-hmm. It was just so much. Women's basketball is in such a healthy place. Men's basketball is struggling, and I don't know what you do about that. I feel like that's just a talent thing, and some classes have talent in them and some don't.
Right.
It's also a personality thing. Coaches don't really have personalities in the NCAA anymore. I'm mostly just excited about the fact that Carolina has swept Duke so far this season. And we beat them again last night. It wasn't even really that dramatic. And we beat them in Cameron. And their fans are classless pieces of shit who were saying stuff before the game, like telling RJ, I'ma kill you, and then throwing shit at the players after they got their ass whooped in the fucking game. So
what?
Yeah. So I think the men's game has something that, and this is what's funny, because the woke sports people don't want to fully say what it is. And because they don't want to sound like they're on the wrong side of this. And the truth of the matter is, what fucked up men's college ball is essentially that something that women don't really do, which is women are staying to play because they can't go to the WNBA right away.
Right.
So they're kind of forced to be in college 2 to 3 years typically.
Mm-hmm.
And the money in the NCAA, in the NIL deals are probably more than WNBA money.
Yes. Okay. So that's for one, some of the players. Yes.
So that's one part. We only talking about the big players. Because WNBA, okay, I ain't talking about the person that's just real good at algebra and they the 12th man on the team. Nah.
Okay. Yeah, yes.
Caitlin,
I agree.
Clark.
Yeah, the money she's making now is probably going to be more than she makes when she go pro.
Yeah,
yes.
Like, and maybe she'll be able to get some, like, you know, brand deals and stuff. But, you know, it's just you can become a star in college basketball as a woman by staying 3 years. And the WNBA can't offer you a salary that's that compelling to make you leave.
Right.
You basically leave because you're like, I need to go compete against better talent. No one's giving me any credit. Like, people are stopped giving Caitlin Clark credit because she's busting college kids' ass. And it's like, well, she's a college kid. That's the right amount of talent.
Yeah, they all at the same level. What are we talking about here?
So you got that. The second thing you got is transfers. The dudes transfer. If they hit a roadblock, if they hit a stumbling block, if someone's ahead of them on the roster,
they not here for the shits.
They just leave. And woke people can't say that that's a problem, because then you sound like you're against the kids' rights. And no one wants to sound like that.
Right.
But if you ain't watching men's college basketball, you got to admit it is a problem. Like, the thing that makes certain teams and certain coaches and certain players' legacies is that there are certain levels of players where, yeah, they're going to be a professional basketball player, probably, but they're not good enough to just dip out. Their agents and all the people aren't like, just leave.
Right.
But they're good enough to keep being a good player and stay. Armando Bacot is one for the Carolina Tar Heels. He's been there forever. You know, but now it's like, if you're a big time school, you need to recruit guys on a 1 year basis. Like, if my goal is to have you play here 1 year and then go to the NBA. And if you don't, I fucked up or you fucked up. And I don't have time to tell you, well, stay here 3 years and I'll help you become a better player. It's like, well, no, I already started recruiting next year's guy.
Yes.
And I promised next year's guy he was going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't do that thing anymore that we used to do where it's like, oh, Grant Hill's going to come back. Well, okay, whoever we recruited next year, let's say it's Trajan Langdon. I don't remember the years in order. But let's say it was Trajan Langdon. Then Trajan Langdon would just be on the bench. He couldn't transfer because you need to take like a year off to transfer. And you still might get some run at Duke and you're going to learn a lot from the coach and all that. That's not what basketball is anymore, except on the women's side. So now the women are the ones that have the coaches with personalities like Dawn Staley and Kim Mulkey, Gina Auriemma. They're also the ones that have the players that have stayed 2-3 years. Even when you bring in a freshman and they're balling, a lot of times we're still looking at like what they're going to do next year. You know, like Caitlin Clark was balling last year, and most of us are like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to see her next year against Angel Reese.
That's what I said.
We didn't go, oh, yeah, she's out of there.
Mm-mm.
So I think that stuff has really hurt the men's side, but it's helped the women's side because, ironically, the lack of options. So I don't know what you do with that because I'm not on the side of, like, limiting the players' options.
Me
but
either.
Guess what? I ain't really watched men's college basketball all year. And most people ain't. And Carolina been good this year. So it's not been a like, well, since my team sucks, I ain't watching. I've watched a few of their games. I know the players on our team. But I don't really be knowing these other teams and other players. And I don't know who's getting drafted, any of this
right.
shit. So it's just been an interesting time. And it made me think about that today when I was watching not just Caitlin Clark and Iowa, but when I was watching South Carolina and LSU about to fucking fight. I was like, damn, I'm really watching women's college basketball more than men.
Agreed. And it's also, you know, one of those things where you have to look at it in its totality. It's a, particularly on the men's side, it's a system that depended on keeping the students broke. And so now the students are not broke because you have the NILs. Now the students can move around and quit and go wherever they want to, just like the coaches and shit have always had the ability to do. So all of a sudden, you don't have coaches that could build on teams. And like you say, you have these teams. Yeah, they might suck, you know, 2-3, but you 1 or 2 years, but that third year, maybe that fourth year after they get some juniors and some seniors, that like that's normally the team, particularly on men, it comes and like dominates and like sweeps everybody and win the Final Four. You're not getting that anymore with the one and done, because a lot of times with that, it's hard to build chemistry and all this stuff because y'all haven't played together long enough and those types of things. I'm like you, I don't know what they do. But I do know that the way the structure is set up now, there are going to be some people that are going to watch no matter what. But you're going to have a lot of people that are going to be, when the draft and stuff come, NBA draft, I'm like, I don't know none of these players. Who are these players? You know, and things like that. Because, you know, it's hard to build quote-unquote superstars unless you're, like, really dominant at a very, very large school where you're on national television and everybody gets to know your name, you know. But before, you used to have, like, Cinderella stories and all that stuff that would come out of nowhere. And you'd be like, oh, that guy going to be a star, whatever it may be. But it's hard to do that when, like you say, when everybody is a one and done and we're moving on, quote-unquote, on to the next one. It's like, okay, yeah, dog, I don't know what to tell you. You have to go because, like you say, I promised somebody else, you know, you can't be here or whatever the case may be. And it's one of those things where, you know, they're going to have to look at it and decide how do they fix this and how do they correct this. I don't want a major overcorrection because I'm like you. I think that the players should have autonomy over their body and where they go and where they play and all that shit. And, you know, and also, if you realize, particularly on basketball and football, a lot of the coaches that have been around for a long time, they're retiring. A lot of that retirement is because they can't dictate to the players. They can't force them to sit down. They can't talk to them all greasy and shit. Them players be like, bitch, you not, and I'm gonna leave. You know, so they see that it's a change in the system, and the system is gonna have to correct itself one way or the other.
Yeah, Nick Saban literally just did an interview. He retired last year, and he said a part of it was in the fact that, you know, the way his team reacted to losing and the fact that guys are like, hey, it's about going to the NFL. It's about other stuff. It's not just, you know, belonging to Alabama and
right.
or whatever the fuck. And so, yeah, I think, I don't know how they fix it. I don't know if it can be fixed.
Right.
I mean, it's probably going to involve some form of contracts and money and unionization and a bunch of business shit and treat it like an actual business and stuff. But at the end of the day, it's like I said, it's hurt men's basketball because the NBA basically has all the money. And so the second you can get the fuck out of college, you just need to do it. It would be bad advice for anyone to tell you the opposite. So I think women's college basketball doesn't have that problem yet.
Yeah, and also, truth be told, as somebody who went to school, the illusion of school spirit and school pride is some bullshit. When it comes to these athletes, they don't give a fuck about that. They are here to make money. The school make money off of them. Everybody made money off of them, you know, prior to the NIL deals and all that shit. So, you know, if everybody can make money off of my likeness, but me, I can't even sign a fucking basketball or a t-shirt and get you to give me $20, you know, off of my own likeness. So, you know, for me, I completely understand.
All right, that's it for banter. Let's try to get into some actual show stuff. Where's my music? Boom.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
The Oscars just went off the air, and I saw some of it. Ryan Gosling basically stole the show with I'm Just Ken performing live, and he basically won the Oscar for best performance at the Oscars.
Yes, he did. It was adorable. And he had the people from the original cast, too. It was so cute.
Yeah, we'll run through some of the winners real quick. Visual effects, Godzilla Minus One.
Let's go.
Yeah, no.
It was fucking flames.
Yeah, I figured that one was gonna win. It beat Mission Impossible, Napoleon, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and The Creator. Film editing, Oppenheimer, Jennifer Lame. Production design, Poor Things won like three in a row. It won production design, makeup and hairstyling. Let's see. Animated feature, The Boy and the Heron.
I still haven't watched that.
Hayao Miyazaki, who is an animation legend.
Mm-hmm. Everybody says it's great.
Couldn't be there to accept the award, but, you know, why fly from Japan for a chance to win? Fuck that.
Right.
Zone of Interest won international feature film, documentary, The Last Repair Shop, documentary feature film, 20 Days in Mirapol. Animated short, The War Is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. Live action short, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Wes Anderson got him one. I did fuck with that heavy. Mm. Let's see. Original score, Oppenheimer. Ludwig Göransson, of course. I mean, that's what he do.
That's his jam, ain't it?
Yeah, I mean, John Williams was in it too, but he lost, and that movie kind of wasn't that good. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, I think that hurt him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just that the movie wasn't good, because normally John Williams be, you know, he one of them ones.
Ain't he though?
Let's see. Sound, Zone of Interest. Costume design was Poor Things. That was when they won those three in a row. Original song, What Was I Made For? Billie Eilish won that. That's What Was I Made For? It's Billie Eilish won that. It's for Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Just Ken lost to that, which is interesting. But at least a woman won something for Barbie.
Right?
Cinematography, Oppenheimer. Original screenplay, Anatomy of a Fall. A lot of people didn't understand why they played, the orchestra played 50 Cent's P.I.M.P. Pimp. And they didn't know. They were just like, did they just play 50 Cent's orchestra P.I.M.P.? What the fuck? It's because it's in the movie. So, but people didn't see it because it looked like a white people movie. adapted screenplay, American Fiction, written by Corey Jefferson. He won. He gave a speech. I heard some of his speech. Some people were kind of a little like miffed with him. Some people don't like him. But also in his speech, he talked about how Hollywood could take the same $200 million budget film and not make that, and then make $24 million films or whatever, you know, whatever the numbers add up to or whatever, $25, $4 million films or some shit like that. And he also said, thank you for taking a chance on a 40-year-old black man who had never directed anything. And I'm so happy, blah, blah, blah. And I think people were kind of had mixed emotions about him saying that. You know how like white people don't get up there and say that and stuff, but I was like, I don't know, it's true.
Yeah,
white people don't say that because white people get that chance all the fucking time.
Yes, they do.
So he's just acknowledging
they're allowed to fail and come back.
Yeah, just acknowledging the fucking, you know, mm-hmm. the elephant in the room.
Right, and it's funny because a subsection of black people love to complain. Then somebody takes your complaint on a level on a platform where they're actually talking about the shit that everybody complains about. And it's like, oh my God. It was like, what is the shit you complain about? I'm just standing on a platform where more people can hear me. And all of a sudden we want to clutch motherfucking pearls.
Divine Joy Randolph won for The Holdovers for actress in a supporting role. That was huge. Everybody was very happy for her. Robert Downey Jr. won for actor in a supporting role. That's his first time winning an Oscar. That's crazy to me.
Right.
Crazy. But, you know, shout out to him. He's not a dude I can really root against. I hate that Sterling K. Brown didn't get it. But, you know, RDJ was great. And Oppenheimer to me, I know acting is subjective and everybody has their own opinions. But mm-hmm. I thought he was fucking amazing. I thought he disappeared and became Jeremy Irons or some shit. And I thought he earned that one. But that was a tough category too. Actress in a leading role, Emma Stone won that for Poor Things.
Good,
you know,
for her.
Yeah, you could tell. I mean, Poor Things was racking shit up.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, they was.
I mean, not that she was like a shoe-in, but like that was the film that I think a lot of people didn't see doing as well as it did at the Oscars, and it was racking shit up. Cillian Murphy won for Oppenheimer for actor in the lead role, beating out Coleman Domingo, Bradley Cooper, Paul Giamatti, Jeffrey Wright. So, but once again, Oppenheimer was that girl this year.
For real, though.
I really didn't know. Like, I watched that joint for our critic review stuff, mm-hmm. and it was just like, yeah, Christopher Nolan, he got one. You can't denigrate it for being a superhero movie the way the Oscars normally does. It's like, right. Nah, this one of the ones y'all gonna actually give credit to. Christopher Nolan won Best Director for Oppenheimer, and then Oppenheimer won Movie Best Picture of the Year.
Okay, that makes sense.
So yeah, it was that movie was a fucking beast. So
it didn't make all that money for no reason.
Yeah, Barbie only won Best Song, which is, you know, wild, because I thought really this year was between like Barbie and Oppenheimer. But I think one of the things that really hurt Barbie with the Oscars is probably just the fact that it was based on like a toy. And I really think the Oscars takes, like,
they knocked them for that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I don't think it's coordinated. Like, I think a lot of people don't really understand how the Oscars voting happens. We're in the critics organization and we vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like we all sit down and we have reasoning and we know how everyone else voted and we're gonna coordinate to see who wins. It's normally not like that. Like, shit just adds up, you know. And I don't know if they do rank voting like we do,
right?
But for us, it's like, you know, if I have Oppenheimer as my second movie and I have Barbie as my one, But more people, once you add up all the totals, more people have Oppenheimer on their list at a higher point than they have Barbie, then Barbie's going to lose. So,
right.
But yeah, it was an interesting, Oscars, this night, tonight.
Congratulations to everybody.
Yeah. I didn't really follow if people were like upset by it or not. Right. Cause I didn't come for that. So I wasn't, but I didn't see that many people being upset on my timeline. So I assume most people were pretty like, that's reasonable, mm-hmm. you know, or they just didn't watch the movies and they rooted for nothing but Black people, which is fine too. But
right.
you know, I kind of dismissed that out of hand. Cause it's like, you didn't see these movies. You're just mad.
Yes.
You know, I felt bad for Comey Domingo. Cause I feel like his season of dressing to the nines and going to these award shows was like amazing, but it was kind of sad because I did not find that movie to be that good. I thought his performance was good, but a lot of times they don't give you the Oscar for that. You know, it's like LeBron on the Cavs. Like, he was fucking carrying that cast in that movie to me, but I was not blown away by Rustin. His performance was great, and that's a lot. Sometimes that's not enough, especially when you're going up against a beast ass full throttle. We got every fucking person we wanted in the cast for Oppenheimer. It's just fucking hard to win. But all right, other news. Matthew Knowles defends Beyonce's hair care knowledge amidst Secret, I think that's how you say it, or is it Sacred launch criticism. So she launched her own hair care product.
Mm-hmm. I seen that.
Sacred, spelled C-E-C-R-E-D, but it's one of them little things over the first E. And so he went on TMZ, there was a brief interview where he said that I don't know what to tell you, but me and Tina Knowles had a hair care salon for 17 years, and it was a top hair salon in Houston. That must have some credibility, right? I'll let you guys figure it out, because people, I guess, have been questioning Beyonce's expertise and knowledge and how she gonna get into the hair game or whatever, which is so weird because, one, we didn't think Rihanna knew everything about makeup and Fenty took the fuck off. And then two, did y'all think she was in the kitchen whipping up the fucking batches of, what do y'all right. think is happening?
What do you think is happening?
Like, do y'all think she made them Reeboks or whatever when she was selling the shoes? Like, come on now, grow up. Whose criticism is this? Are you like five? What's happening?
Right.
Carly Russell, you remember her?
Probably do, but don't know the name. Probably know the face, not name.
Okay. Well, I'll show you the face. This is Carly Russell. Remember her? No. Mm-mm. She was the woman who had a hoax that she got kidnapped because she saw a baby on the side of the highway.
That woman. Okay. Yes. Okay.
She's expected to plead guilty at an upcoming hearing.
That makes sense.
Yeah, Carly Nicole Russell. She has a hearing set for Thursday, March 21st at 1 p.m. And the expectation is she'll plead guilty.
Well, that makes sense because she lied. I mean, no offense, the butts about that, baby.
Faces one count of false reporting to law enforcement authorities and one count of falsely reporting the incident. Both of them are Class A misdemeanors, which, I mean, better than a felony, obviously. Mm-hmm. Hopefully she doesn't have to do any time. Maybe she has to pay some restitution.
Right.
I think that's fair.
Right, right. If anything else, for the hours that the officers spent, you wasted their time. Get the taxpayers their money back.
An ex-convict who became an advocate for prison reform and a guest on Joe Rogan's podcast mm-hmm. was arrested after human remains were found in his apartment.
What?
Yeah, his name is Sheldon Johnson. He's a criminal justice advocate. He was arrested when human remains were found in his New York City apartment. The 48-year-old was charged with murder and dismemberment of a man.
Oh.
The news shocked his supporters and those who knew him for his efforts to reform himself and help others detach from gang life. I mean, technically he did detach that person from gang life.
Yes, he did. Permanently.
Yeah, I don't know that you can get more detached than
Sorry. That's a real separation.
He spent 25 years in prison for attempted murder.
Wow.
While he was a high-ranking member of the Bloods gang, he since made appearances on podcast shows where he discussed his journey towards redemption. Neighbors reported suspicious activity at his apartment, which led to police to find a man's torso and 2 feet in a bin.
Oh, and 2 feet. Mm-hmm. 2 feet.
Authorities probed deeper and uncovered the victim's arms, legs, and head in Johnson's possession hidden in his apartment's freezer.
Goddamn.
Not the full Allah. Arm, leg, arm, head.
Yes. Head and shoulders, knees and toes.
Prosecutors say Johnson had attempted to disguise himself with the victim's clothing and a wig. What? The victim and Johnson had known each other from their time in prison. This don't look good. He's been held without bail in New York City jail on second degree murder charge. Well, I see why he was trying to reform the prison. I mean, he was like, look, I'm going back. So we need to get this shit a little better.
Oh, no.
I want all the channels on cable because I'm going to be in there for quite a while after this.
Yes, you are. You don't get more. You just die and then probably get more than 25 years.
Yeah. Like if the first one was attempted murder, I mean, mission accomplished.
Right. Right. He was like, I'm not going to miss the second time, apparently.
If at first you don't succeed.
The police don't try again, but he tried again and he succeeded.
Let's see what else happened. Instagram now lets you edit direct messages within 15 minutes.
Okay, that's smart.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how this takes, how it works. Like, I can see people using it for good. Obviously, mm-hmm. you know, people can use anything for bad. Mm-hmm. But, like, someone could DM you and then change the DM. You know, hey, fuck you, bitch. And then you see it and they go, and it changes to what? I didn't say nothing. I don't know if you see, like, the history.
Edit. There needs to be something on it to let everybody know that this has been modified. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that people go, okay, you changed the message. You can't just let people change it and people don't know that the message, this is not the original message that was mm-hmm. there. Like, you know, I see that. But the thing that people want them to do, they don't never do. Instagram is like the only fucking social media site that if I want to retweet a fucking link, it's just like, nah, bitch. And you're like, well, that's what people want. Nobody gives a fuck about this edit. Let me be able to promote something on the for the podcast and some shit and not have to be like, go see the first tab or some bullshit like that. Why can't I just post like I can on Facebook and the link pops up and all that other bullshit? That's what people want, but you don't get what you want. You get bullshit you didn't ask for.
Yeah. That's like, it could be a cool feature.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of technology, Saudi Arabia's first male robot is accused of touching woman's butt.
Mm. Well, we know who programmed it.
I mean, I guess it works.
It does.
It's a male robot.
It did what it was programmed to do. Touch ass.
It was like, it's too real. Is it the robot got me too? This is the video footage of it. It's an AI robot named Muhammad. It reacts to a reporter in his first appearance. Oh, damn. Did they let Muhammad, like, look on the internet? Is it like all the other AI got all this behavior from the scouring the internet? Because that is what a man that has scoured the internet thinks is okay.
It would not be surprising. Mm-hmm.
Yes. She's also wearing pants, so maybe he didn't like that shit too. He's like, hey, put on dress. Wow. Women at work.
Niggas tough.
Men will become AI robots before they get therapy. That is so sad.
Ain't that sad?
Yeah. Wow. What the fuck? Don't you have to throw the whole robot in the trash if it didn't pass test number one can it be in the proximity of a woman without touching his butt? Feels like y'all should have maybe like tested that on day one. Maybe that tells you how little women were involved or how many women, how little women were thought about in the process.
Because obviously it's programmed not to reach out for men's ass.
Yeah, so a man sitting right next to
him. Right, and it did not, now if it reached out for everybody's ass, like, okay, somebody flipped the grabbed ass button, but this goes, no, we just want women.
What if it would have grabbed her ass, but then it reached over to the dude to do a pound? Like, high five, bro. It's like, no, Muhammad, not here.
Yeah, that goes, yeah, that shows you that there was no women involved in the making of that robot.
Biden gave his State of the Union last week. I watched some of it. I talked about it on Karen Hunter's show. I talked about it a bit with Randolph and those guys on Three Guys On. And I thought it was good and all that stuff. I really was just infuriated by how the Republicans are literally heckling now.
Yes, they are. That's the whole purpose for some of them.
It's so fucking disrespectful, and it goes one way. It's not a both sides thing.
No, it's
not. It started with the "you lie" to Obama years ago, and it's out of fucking control. And the fact that people vote for these assholes and send them to DC to do shit like this, because I think it plays well with their base. There'll be no punishment. The voters won't decide this is unprofessional and uncivilized and this is the end of your career, Marjorie Taylor Greene. No, they're gonna vote for her and go, yeah, that's what we want. That's representation.
Yes, sir.
And it's disgusting. And they never give up voting, and they never stop. They never go, well, she's a terrible person, I'm going to wait for someone else to come on the ballot and vote for them. No, they vote for her because they're not like us that decide that quits and goes home. So, yeah, it's kind of disgusting, and that was hard to watch. But he did a great job. He touted all his accolades and all his accomplishments from his administration, gave a hopeful speech about where we need to go, how you need to be present for everybody. It's very Obama-esque and whatnot. And then like one of the things they fucked up, I think, is with all the heckling, they actually made it so that when he had a Biden slip, it just seemed like maybe he's just responding to the fact he's getting heckled. And then he went off script to address the hecklers, which then, of course, because they had put the floor so low of like, you going to go out there and just take a nap. They put the floor so low that him addressing the hecklers and being prepared for them was like another notch in his cap. So it worked out.
Yeah, because if he would have gave you just like a regular, and in fact, they did themselves a disservice with the heckling, because if he'd have did a regular ass speech, particularly the people on the left, sometimes they get on my motherfucking nerves with the shit that they nitpick at and complain about. Not trying to be funny, it'd be bullshit. They were like, the fuck, I don't give a fuck about this. Let's talk about real shit. Y'all talking about him fucking stuttering like people don't stutter every day in speeches that they give all the goddamn time. Y'all talking about he old. Well, bitch, old people give speeches to, old people talk to, old people can do jobs too.
Well, also, like, the option is Donald Trump, who also is just, who's not just a pathological liar, but he also is fucking up too. So it's just a totally different scale for that. But also, he worked the room afterwards. Like it was like, okay, everybody is ready to go home. He's like, oh, now I'm gonna walk around and talk to every single motherfucker in this room.
They said he was there way after the cameras went off.
The mics were on, and I think this is on purpose. I don't think it was an accident, and I'll say why in a second. But there was a hot mic moment where he expressed frustration with Bibi Netanyahu, who is the president of Israel. Or I don't know if they go by prime minister or whatnot.
I think prime
but,
minister.
But whatever they go to, prime minister. He said that they need to have a come to Jesus meeting. You know, he said, I told them, BB, and don't repeat this, but you and I are going to have a come to Jesus meeting, which is a, you got to stop this shit type of thing. Now, his aide came over to him and whispered in his ear something, and probably, hey, the mics are on. To which he said, I'm on a hot mic here. Good. That's good. Like, I hope people do hear this shit. Like, but yeah, so he, and in the speech, he of course talked about how Israel has a duty to like end the humanitarian crisis and the suffering of the Palestinian people. So, you know, it's something. I mean, it's what I've suspected he's believed the whole time. I understand people's misgivings about it. I'm not here to argue that. But I've suspected this whole time that it's like, this is our ally. We don't agree with this shit, but we don't know. But we don't want to like burn an ally and lose them over this shit either.
Right.
And so
correct.
So the other thing that happened maybe 2 weeks ago, or maybe actually a week ago. Well, no, it's 2 weeks now. Kamala Harris said in a speech that they need a ceasefire. And that reminds me of when Joe Biden said, I'm for marriage equality, and Obama hadn't said it yet. And I feel like they're floating the ceasefire. Will this really destroy us? Will this, you know, will like you say it and you flinch, like Kamala Harris says, we need a ceasefire. And then you go, is this going to make the people, like the Jewish people that support the Democrats, basically abandon ship? Like, fuck y'all then. Because those people live here for the most part. Mm-hmm. So they're not 100% necessarily on board with what Israel's still doing. Like, maybe people were on board when it started, but it's been months. And it doesn't seem to be like lighting up, and more coverage of the humanitarian crisis of the kids and stuff that and the women and the people that aren't Hamas and aren't, you know, with, so it's kind of untenable at this point. And it made me wonder if this hot mic moment was kind of like maybe if it wasn't on purpose, it was definitely like, and who gives a fuck? This is what I need to be saying right now, because this shit is killing us. And we like it. I don't want people thinking that I'm just okay with this shit. I'm being diplomatic,
right?
I'm trying to use the leverage of our allyship to like pressure them into stopping. But I'm not supporting what's happening, you know.
So right.
it was an interesting thing, and I didn't see anybody else bring up these points, but I think it may have been on purpose. The RNC had a response to the State of the Union like they always do. There's this woman, Katie Britt, junior Republican senator from Alabama. She delivered the rebuttal. It went viral in a bad way.
Mm-hmm. Gotta find out, the lady straight up lied.
Yeah, she talked about sex trafficking and a story that a woman told her, and it turns out that the story is not what she said it was, like that. And then you can go find all this on TikTok. Like, they, I don't want to play 8 minutes of TikTok on our show, but mm-hmm. it's been broken down that she's mm-hmm. that she was not necessarily most forthcoming. Saturday Night Live spoofed it with ScarJo to open up the show.
Hilarious.
So like it's being treated as a joke. And there's also Republicans who didn't like it. You know, what the hell am I watching now? A Trump advisor asked mid-Brit remarks. Creepy, one Republican pollster noted. A lawyer working in the Trump orbit says the performance reminded them of public access television, and a senior House congressional aide remarks that it was cringe inducing to watch and likely destined to be turned into a lame Saturday Night Live skit this weekend. And it was. I'll give Biden this. He at least gave a better speech than Katie Britt, one national Republican consultant said bluntly.
That's hilarious, but I don't feel sorry for you at all, because this is the bullshit that happens when y'all let these crack jobs get in here and just anybody that halfway can do anything automatically get these positions, and you gerrymander. This is the bullshit that y'all get. And like you say, anybody that's aspiring to do anything, they're not gonna do these rebuttals. So
yeah, I think they're in a catch-22, because at least since Obama, and maybe it was before this, but definitely since Obama, whoever you get to do the rebuttal is a person that is putting a ceiling on their future. That these people never really go on to be serious candidates.
Mm-mm.
You know, like, I think there were two of them that had gotten close. I want to say one was Herman Cain, and it's Sarah Huckabee Sanders, but she ain't gonna never be president. Like,
mm-mm.
Whoever you get to do it, the best thing you can do is nobody remembers you did it.
Yep.
The worst thing you can do is be memorable, because it's never memorable in a good way.
Never.
You know, even Barack Obama, we remembered him for his speech at the DNC that he gave, not for a rebuttal to the president at the time of George Bush, so George W. Bush. So, yeah. Now, here's a clip of it.
I never could have imagined what my story would entail. To think about what the American dream can do across just one generation, in just one lifetime. It's truly breathtaking. But right now, the American dream has turned into a nightmare for so many families. The true, unvarnished state of our union begins and ends with this. Our families are hurting.
It is like white women tears on steroids. Like, like she's supposed to be crying after this. It's definitely acting.
Yeah, but she's not crying. Yes.
It's not a very strong speech either, which, you know, you would think your rebuttal would be a fiery thing. And it's a, oh my God, it's very breathy and, you know, my American dream. And the pivots to each segment is interesting, because it's America's the greatest, America's the greatest, America's the worst it's ever been. What are we gonna do? Like, it's very weird messaging. But for me, I don't live in the Republican sphere. So when I saw this shit, I was like, I thought it's probably gonna work. Because what the fuck do I know? A lot of shit that I think is batshit crazy over there, they end up loving. Mm-hmm. You know, they love heckling the president and shit. They think that's a good look. But apparently a lot of conservative people agreed that this shit was a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what also hurts is that, you know, they don't like women.
Right.
And I don't know what white women don't understand about this, but you're still women. Yes, you get protected and coveted by white male privilege, which is all that the Republican Party is really about consolidating. But at the same time, protected, not the same as a white man. Protected as long as they own your ass, as long as you are property. You're protected the way they want to protect their car with car insurance.
Come on.
Because they want to do whatever they want to do to their car. They don't protect you like equals. They're not protecting your rights because they're like, oh yeah, you know, white women, we got to make sure they cool. Nah, it's like, if we rape you, you're going to definitely have that baby. Now, I will marry one of y'all, so you cool. You covered under that part of it. But everything else, you ain't got no fucking rights. And so I'm not surprised that having a woman do this turned into a, yeah, it was terrible. You know, and anytime they do this, if it's a brown person, I think they do the same thing. It's like terrible. But yeah, it was real, real weird. But that's what they do over there. And RNC voted to install Donald Trump's handpicked chair as former president tightens control of the party. So now they're going to have Michael Whatley, a North Carolina Republican who has echoed Trump's false theories of voter fraud, be the party's new national chairman. I think the narrative that has been missed about Republicans that I haven't really seen anyone talking about, Republicans have been losing elections since Donald Trump got elected. They've been losing a lot of local stuff.
He's unlikable.
Where they were supposed to really win was last year, where they were supposed to have this red wave, and it didn't come to fruition. They gained enough seats to get the House, but people were like, they're supposed to get a voting majority where they're just going to be able to pass shit without compromising at all with Democrats, and they weren't able to do that.
Mm-mm.
Because at the end of the day, Donald Trump and the people he endorses are not necessarily winning. And it's interesting because if it was me, I would say to my party, we got to stop turning the reins over to Donald Trump. This man is not helpful for the whole party. He's helpful for himself.
Yes. I don't know. What about that? They don't see. That's why I would have been like, when he was talking about don't vote, I was like, fuck you, and I would have voted for that shit anyway, because that's the shit that your people wanted to.
Be specific. What are you talking about?
Remember Biden then was going to do the bipartisan bill, and Donald Trump came.
Immigration.
Yes, immigration bill, and Donald Trump basically came and said, don't pass it. I would have passed the bill anyway just to stick our middle fingers up at him and say, you don't control this party. This is what our voters said that they wanted.
Yeah, they're not interested in governing. And they think they can siphon and ride a wave of Trump popularity. But one, Trump's not that popular. It looks different because Trump's people that fuck with Trump, a segment of them, put on the costumes. So you start thinking, oh, this guy's a big fucking deal. But he lost the popular vote. You know, I'm not saying he's not a threat and he can't win. But he lost the popular vote both times. It's because America's got that rigged ass, you know, way of electoral college shit that it makes it seem like, no, he's super popular. Everyone loves him. But it's not true. And it also doesn't trickle down. There's many people who are Trump loyalists who can't win. They're election deniers. They couldn't win.
They vote for Trump and no one else.
Yeah. Or just you're not Trump.
Yep.
And you can't be him because you can't do him as much as he, like,
he does.
No one can do him as much as he can do him.
Yeah, because people just come and do these Trump lights, like the dude down in Florida. They was like, bitch, we'll never vote for you.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting that they fucking put the handpicked Donald Trump person as a chair because Trump owes all this money from these lawsuits. You think this money that y'all have raised that a actual candidate who was interested in being president and interested in the Republican Party would have shared with everyone, who would have allocated shit to key races, like, we need to win Florida, we need to win Texas,
because they're concerned about the party.
You think he about to do that?
Nope. He about to try to rob y'all blind.
It's so crazy. And I really,
this money gonna go towards his bills.
I will be shocked if they run this thing anything close to what a actual like campaign looks like.
Right.
I feel like they gonna run some attack ads on Biden, and then he gonna pocket the rest and be like, pay out the people that I've been sexually assaulting and shit. And
that's all that money gonna go.
One last Republican news story. GOP rep Matt Rosendale, 63, announced retirement amid rumors that he impregnated a 20-year-old staffer.
Oh.
Yeah. Montana GOP Representative Matt Rosendale announced Friday he'll be retiring at the end of this Congress amid defamatory rumors that he impregnated a 20-year-old staffer.
Rumors, apparently they must be true.
Who retired based off rumors?
Right, that's what I'm talking about, you retiring? Because if they weren't true, you'd be like, the bitch is lying.
Start a rumor about me right now. If it ain't true, I'm not stopping the blackout tips. I'm just going to tell you right now. If you're like, oh, you know, Rod had a break baby on Karen, I'm going to be here tomorrow and the day after because the shit ain't true.
Right.
The fuck I'm going to stop my flow because y'all made some shit up. Bro, you did this shit. The congressman who said it became very obvious he wasn't going to win pulled out, hoping that the Republican with a better chance of defeating the Democrat incumbent, Senator John Tester, could lead the charge.
Mm-mm, y'all don't be giving up seats for no reason.
That's also the wrong time to pull out. Should have pulled out on the 20-year staffer.
Yes.
But of course, it's hard to do the rhythm method when you ain't got no rhythm.
And the ones and threes, we see what happens.
Yep. Guilty strokes. They have no rhythm. Y'all know this. This is taking a serious toll on me and my family, said in a letter posted to Twitter. Additionally, it has caused a serious disruption to the threat to the election and the next representative. Yeah, right. Oh, it's about the threat to the election. Yeah, some more shit y'all be making up.
Mm-hmm.
All that money y'all spent trying to find the people violating the law and voting illegally, and you didn't find any of it except for fucking Republicans. It's fucking insane. These motherfuckers are insane.
Right.
While he did not address any specific allegations, he appeared to be referencing former North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp's claim that he knocked up a staffer 43 years his junior. Rosendale and his wife vehemently denied the accusation made on a podcast late last month and have threatened legal action against Heitkamp. Well, have you sued yet? The North Dakota, I mean, it was last month. It's plenty of time
to sue.
Yeah. You didn't sue, but you will resign.
Right.
Okay, player.
Right. We'll see what the maternity test say.
The current attacks have made it impossible for me to focus on my work to serve you. And, you know, also taking care of a baby is a lot for a 63-year-old. In the best interest of my family and my community, I'm withdrawing from the House race and will not be seeking office. So there you go. Republicans are in disarray over there.
Apparently so. We'll see when, you know, 6 months from now, they're going to be like, yeah, that baby was his. And everybody's going to say, of course, that's why he retired. That's why he stepped down.
Right. Let's see. What else I want to get into? You know what? Let's move into a different segment.
Okay.
We got plenty of other shows we can do this week. Let's talk about some white people news.
White people news. We're bringing exiling to the barbecue. We might be problematic or a little bit dim. The sun's really harsh.
White people news. See what the whites are talking about. We got elite whiteness happening, okay? Kate Middleton. You know who that is?
Actress.
Nope.
Oh, shit.
She is the, like, Princess of Wales.
Oh, whatchamacallit. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, too.
Yeah, well, she's been missing in action. She got some type of medical procedure on her abdominal area. There was no...
Because she recently had a baby, didn't she? Not too long ago.
I don't know that. I don't think so.
I know she had a baby. Her baby's really young, like a second or third child. Yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I mean, whatever. You just say what you need to say. Get it out. And this is a picture of her with her kids. None of these kids look like they're recent.
Wrong lady. My bad. Wrong white woman.
Okay. All right. Well, Kate Middleton has, like, it's Mother's Day in the UK because the exchange rate is different. So over there it's in March.
Okay.
And so they put out a picture amid the fact that, you know, she has been missing in action from all the public appearances and stuff. They put out a picture that was like, here's her at Mother's Day. Well, the Associated Press has issued a kill order on the picture, meaning don't publish it, stop putting it out, because they're concerned that the picture was manipulated.
Oh, no!
Like, I don't know if they think it's Photoshop, it's AI, or whatever. I guess they asked for original photo so they could see if there was...
Is there a difference in them?
And they couldn't get it, so then they said, shut this shit down.
Oh, no.
And this picture does look like it could be AI, just how much everyone's smiling and... like, it's like a perfect picture. The kids are all smiling and perfectly posed and all this shit. But, yeah. It said, closer inspection, it appears that the source has manipulated the image. No replacement photo will be sent. Now, I don't know what they saw to make
them think that, right.
Yeah, like, I can't tell just because I'm, you know, with AI, if the fingers and toes is right, I'm mostly like, I don't know what's happening.
Right, but apparently they know something we don't, or see something we can't.
Yeah, they said the photo shows an inconsistency in the alignment of Princess Charlotte's left hand. So I guess her left hand, I don't know what that means. I don't know what they saw, but all right. I guess when you ask for the original, you don't get it though. So yeah, that's elite white people news, and yeah, nobody really knows where she's at, what she's up to.
Oh no, she like disappeared off the map.
Yeah, the palace has not responded to, you know, comments around it. And so, yeah, she's home, continuing to recover. They put out a statement January 29th saying that. Said she was unlikely to return to public duties until after Easter, which I think is April.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows? Who fucking knows? It's the biggest mystery. And, of course, black people, everybody's been saying the same thing, which is, and that's why Meghan Markle got the fuck out of there.
She's like, you won't kill me.
You fucking weirdos. like, maybe going back to Canada not so bad now, is it? Let's see what else happened with white people. A new encounter at Zoo Tampa allows you to get in the water with stingrays.
To fucking sting you? That's they do. Stingrays sting.
You may know stingrays from such hits as Killing the Crocodile Hunter.
Yes, it did. I remember that.
Yeah, that was the day I said, I'll never be anywhere
with a stingray. Yeah, didn't it hit him in his heart or some shit and took him out of here?
Yeah.
Zoo Tampa, it's called Shore, and it's sure to grab your attention.
Yeah, it's called Stingray Shores, and it allows you to get into the water with these creatures.
Yep, and we sent News Channel 8's Brianna Villegas to check it out. She joins us live, wetsuit and all, to tell us what it's all about.
Oh my goodness, guys. This has to be an experience for the books, right? So I am in what staff calls the touch pool habitat. I don't know if you can see it, but there's a stingray coming up right here. It's super immersive. The experience gives guests about 20 minutes to have this encounter. So you're actually in the water. You get to learn the stingray shuffle and all that jazz. And yes, I was a little nervous at first, but you know, staff like Sydney here, they're just talking me through the whole process, how to get suited up and you know, how to get into the water for all of the action.
Stingrays are some of the most interesting creatures in our waters.
It's literally got sting in the fucking name.
Right.
What?
And this immersive encounter at Zoo Tampa takes you right into their touch pool.
These animals are super friendly and they'll come right up to you. They're not afraid of you at all.
But before getting to sea.
Hello.
Hi.
I had to get dressed for the occasion.
So we're going to get you into a wetsuit.
Swapped my sneakers in for some water shoes.
Ready to get suited up.
Popped into the changing room and
let's go.
Voila. All ready to head on in.
Oh, that's cold.
I know. It doesn't feel like it, but it is temperature.
Why do white people want to do shit like this?
They have no predators.
No, yeah, they the apex.
Like for real, like that's what happened when you don't have nothing or anything that you are quote unquote afraid of taking out your existence. You do bullshit like this.
Yeah, yeah. Like black people, we got so many fears. There's so many ways to die as a black person, and then we're not signing up for stingray swimming, you know,
but shout out to them. That's why we got some of the discoveries that we have in the world, because they like, fuck it. And we're like, no, nigga,
technically that's how I discovered that a stingray could kill you.
So yeah.
The crocodile hunter discovered that one for me.
Yes, he did.
Well, they got what?
Cause that was a big thing when he died. I was like, stingray sting. I was like, oh shit.
Rihanna was ripped for a lazy performance at Indian Billionaire's Bash despite being paid $6 million. She's a scammer.
Child, if them people ain't complaining, what is you complaining about? You ain't spend a goddamn dime on that. If them people happy with the services that they got, nobody cares about you, bro, niggas.
Well, supposedly, some people said that there were people complaining that were the, like, people there or whatever. But, I mean, the bare minimum is what Rihanna does. No offense to my Rihanna fans, but if you really a fan of hers, you already know what she do. She don't. That was the thing about the Super Bowl. She gives you nothing, and we love her for it. She not out there sweating. That's not
her style.
That's not anything Rihanna's about. We've never watched a Rihanna performance and been like, God damn, man, she really fucking like the choreography or whatever. We'd like, no, she wear a little bit of clothes. She looked amazing. And then she, you know, kind of gives us not a lot. And that's been her thing. And everyone thinks she's so cool for doing that.
I'm not even mad at her.
Yeah. Everybody's like, if you buy Rihanna tickets, it's like you expect a cool performance, not a, you know, Beyonce's a work hard motherfucker. You know, Taylor Swift even is a work hard motherfucker. Like, how you mad about this?
How are you mad, Sway?
But yeah, so people was kind of upset. But also, it's not your billions.
That's how I feel.
If they worth $113 billion, $6 million ain't shit for them.
Mm-mm.
You know, they said the whole event cost $120 million. So she was only like a 20th of the budget.
A fraction of the budget.
Yeah. Like, what? Why y'all mad on they fucking behalf?
That's my whole point.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. So, and she left, too. less than 24 hours after her performance. I don't blame her.
Yeah, she was like, I perform. This is my task. Let's head home.
Yeah, like, why does she need to hang out there? Let's see what else happened. Andrew Hsu and Mary Lee Phibig jet out of NYC together in rare new outing. Now, I know what you're thinking. Who are these people?
Yes, sir.
Well, you may know them better as the exes of Amy Roback and TJ Holmes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the background history.
So it looks like that rumor was true.
Yes. Apparently it was.
I did say the whole time I believed it was true. Like, I had a friend that was like, I don't know, they could be trying to plant, like, you know, TJ Holmes and them trying to plant something to make them look bad so it's not as bad, which, I mean, it's hard to put anything past those two. But I was like, yeah, but it just don't make sense unless it was happening, because it's so easily debunked. But yeah, they was heading out together flying. I kind of love this for them.
Mm-hmm. I bet you their relationship will last longer.
I mean, y'all were publicly cheated on and shit. It's not like y'all did anything. And mm-hmm. maybe y'all found love in a hopeless place.
You never know.
You know? And now that y'all found love, what are y'all going to do with it?
Yep.
But yeah, they were heading out at the airport. Looked like they're together.
Right. We ain't married. So
Saturday morning.
Yeah, we ain't married to them niggas, so we good.
I feel bad for them kids, though, because their kids got to be going through a lot. Because everyone's famous and everyone's paying attention, and the two of the motherfuckers won't stop doing a podcast about that.
Like, no, they will not.
It's crazy that podcast didn't. I don't know who the fucking producer is, but the fact that no one came in and said, just do a morning show podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't try to tell everybody the intimate secrets of y'all's relationship and mm-hmm. every argument and shit. That shit don't look or sound good. Just fucking do a goddamn, like, hey, did you see what happened this morning? Mm-hmm. And, oh, we're bringing in a chef to tell us about fitness.
Because,
like,
people will forget and move the fuck on.
Yeah, y'all, mm-hmm. now your exes are fucking out there dating.
Right, and if they really wanted to stick it to you, they would start their own podcast.
Yeah.
And they would do morning shit. They would do the old shit that y'all used to do.
Shout out to them being classy, though, and not having heavy PDA the way Amy and TJ be doing. It's like every time they take a picture, his hands like up her, like, tanked. It's fucking
ain't it though?
It's fucking weird, man. It's weird.
We together. We know this. You're not breaking any news.
And last white people news story: Christian Cavallari, who is the ex of Jay Cutler.
And, okay, the football player.
Yeah, and she's also like a. I don't know if she's like a real housewife, but she's definitely like a reality TV person.
Mm-hmm.
So she debuted her new beau. She's 37. He's 24. And she did a lip sync TikTok audio where she... the mother of three asked defiantly, so what are you going to do about it? Are you going to arrest me? Are you going to give me a ticket? And the caption was, when they're all up in arms that I'm dating a 24-year-old. And, which I guess, you know, girl power. You know,
like, I got this body for nothing.
Different for women. so it's gross for men. Different for empowering for women. We all know the rules. The Laguna Beach alum, 37, had people buzzing when she was spotted on a Mexican getaway with Estes, who's 24, earlier this week. Oh, I see. He's a lot of that's a beefcake right there.
Mm-hmm. That's a boy toy.
She robbed a cradle, and she did not. She picked out something good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "He makes me happy," confirming that they were indeed an idol.
I bet he does. Right. Yeah, he make anybody happy breaking that back
with that dick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did you buy him a motherfucking Apple Vision Pro?
You know she did.
You better bring out them whips and chains. I'm trying to take you down. I want a lick of my sugar, baby. I want a piece of that meat. I'm a freaky lady. Go hey. Down on me, baby. Yeah, I'm pretty tasty.
That's my jam.
You say he don't eat no the pussy. Hey. Wait till Mabel get him. He gonna maybe do it.
Hey, hey.
Yeah, he definitely yeah, she definitely giving him a PS5. And
yeah, whatever the new hot shit is, he is getting it.
Oh yeah, and this the picture of them. Yeah, they fuck. Yeah, it's why was there ever a question about them being in a relationship?
You're right.
No one, no 24-year-old holds a 37-year-old like that and don't be in a relationship.
Come on.
So yeah. Hopefully he'll be a good stepfather or whatever the fuck she wants out of him.
Right.
Hopefully.
Oh, she didn't move it on to the next one.
Yeah. You know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. All right. She got options and she's using them.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's get to the, let's do one more segment. I know it's getting late. We'll do some guess the race.
What time is it?
It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race.
All right, guess the race time. You know what it is. Time to guess the race of people in these articles that I read. Karen plays, chat room plays. They all a little bit racist. Let's see here. Two Ohio women propped up a man's corpse in their vehicle and withdrew money from the dead man's bank account before dropping the 80-year-old's body off at a hospital emergency room.
This is Weekend at Bernie's.
Like, it is.
Like the whole plot. The fuck is this?
Prosecutors did. We charged Lauren Bia Ferralo and Karen Kassbaum, both of them the same race, 55 and 63 respectively, with theft and gross abuse of a corpse, both felonies in connection with their alleged activities following the death of Douglas Lehman. According to the police, the two women were not related to Lehman, but lived with him at his home.
Oh, he was sugar daddy.
Right? He was bringing out them whips and chains trying to take him down.
Mm-hmm.
So Kassbaum, the 63-year-old, was reportedly Lehman's girlfriend for the past several years. Cops say that Ferralo and Kassbaum, with the help of a third individual, removed Lehman's corpse from the residence on Monday, placed the body in the front passenger seat of his car, and then headed to the nearby U.S. Bank drive-through window. The bank, police say, had previously allowed the women to withdraw money from Lehman's account as long as he was accompanying them. Okay, now I'm starting to wonder, how lucid was this 80-year-old man? And was this, because if the bank was like, y'all can withdraw money on his behalf as long as he's in the car, maybe he wasn't dead before, but I wonder if it was like, could he really consent or not consent to this?
That's a great question.
Apparently, Taylor was unaware that he was dead, and the women successfully took out.
Right. How would they know?
And the women successfully took out $900. Well, how would they know? You go, hey, how you doing, Mr. Lehman? And then they didn't know that they had tied a string to his arm. So that when they waved, he waved at the same time.
Maybe they didn't think it was strange knowing that they come up to that front one, you know, where the tail is, but they got the one that
all
was
the way in the back.
It was four over. You had to fall over there close, Newton, right beside the ATM.
Right. They couldn't see his mouth moving.
Probably.
They were making his mouth move with their finger on his chin.
Yeah, they was like, oh, he's just taking a nap. That's why he ain't hear you.
Yeah. Well, hey, Mr. Lehman, you want 900? How you want that in the 20s, 100s, or what?
All hundreds, please.
He said all hundreds. they said they placed him in the vehicle in such a manner that he would appear visible to bank staff in order to make the withdrawal. They dropped off the body at this hospital, at the medical center, without providing any information about the man or themselves.
Yeah, this camera's all around the hospital. So the second you pulled up in the parking lot around, they was like, we got you on camera. Y'all randomly dropped this damn man off.
His cause of death is under investigation. And so Ferralo, the younger one, has a rap sheet that includes convictions of reckless assault, possession of drug paraphernalia, criminal trespass, driving under the influence, theft, and attempted possessions of drugs. She was arrested in 2022 for possession of fentanyl, but a disposition in that case is not available. Cash Bomb has previously been convicted of theft, soliciting, criminal trespass, receiving stolen property, possession of drug paraphernalia, and attempted drug for abuse.
They had a history.
Let's just say Buddy might not have died of natural causes.
Child, ain't looking too good for him.
Yeah. All right, Karen, guess the race.
White.
All right, Karen's going with white for Loreen Bia Ferralo and Karen Kasbaum. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Weekend at Becky's. That's not a race, Black Rob. Oh, wait, Becky. Yeah, that's white.
That's white.
The movie 9 to 5 white. it's going to be doing 9 to 5 in the prison. Colonizer, Calamity Janes. The correct answer is, it's not a lot of people in the chat because it's late. They got themselves a sorghum dash, sorghum daddy.
Oh, no.
White. That's hilarious, Emily. That's hilarious. The correct answer is white. It's funny you called it Weekend at Bernie's because the article on The Smoking Gun has weekday at Bernie's premieres in Ohio. So you got it right away. And that's the those are the two women.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's sad.
Oh, no.
At that
age, you're supposed to be just chilling, getting high, you know, waiting, you know, collecting Social Security. What is we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if he was the goose that, you know, was laying the golden eggs and something happened.
They couldn't help themselves.
Yeah. All right, let's do another one. Agoura Hills man stung by scorpion in Las Vegas hotel. Michael Farchi said he was staying at the Venetian Palazzo Tower on the Las Vegas Strip. We were stung by a scorpion on his balls while sleeping.
Ooh.
He said he woke up in excruciating pain December 26th, adding he was stung by the scorpion multiple times. Multiple times? He said, I didn't know what it was. It felt like a sharp knife or glass stabbing me. He said he immediately reached under the covers, discovered the scorpion, and notified hotel staff. He then went to the hospital. They will not comment on because of the privacy of the guests, blah, blah, blah. So they won't say.
I would say you at least get to have alone. You stay there for free. That's the bare minimum you can get me. I'm not paying for shit. I get stung by a goddamn scorpion.
How's a scorpion get in the bed and stab? Like, are they going to say he snuck the scorpion in to stab him in the balls? Why would it fuck the balls up? Was it like they thought the dick was a worm or something? Like, what happened that made the scorpion decide to go ham?
How did the scorpion get in there is the largest question.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, that's the desert area, so maybe they be out there like that.
Right, they probably do.
You don't read stories like this even just not in a hotel where just people are like, watch out for them scorpions in the bed. They'll stab you in the balls.
And that's a fancy hotel from my knowledge. I think I was watching like a documentary or something. They were talking about like the hotels in Atlanta. But in Vegas, and that's when it pops up.
Well, guess the race of Michael Farchi.
Oh, white.
Karen says white. Because, you know, listen, there's one thing about scorpions. Love alabaster testicles, okay? Can't wait to stab them up. He's about to be paid in full white, says Trey. This sounds like some Richard Gere hamster shit, white. Get over here, white, says Black Rob. Caucasian, says
Cass. That's good.
He was hoping it was a stingray, white. Correct answer is white. And that's him. Man, the courage it takes to tell people this story. I don't know if I got it.
No, no, you got that one in
you. I don't know if I got it, man. I'll take this to the grave.
You'd have been anonymous.
Well, Karen, you're 2-for-2 right now.
Yay!
That the bitch was white!
I ain't racist. How can I be racist about anybody or anything in my life? How can I?
Call them niggas.
just call them niggas.
It's time to get
gold
the race.
Teeth, gold chain it's wearing, fried chicken race. And biscuit eating monkey, eight baboon, big thigh, fast running, high jumping, spear chucking, 360 degree basketball.
Well, let's keep it testicles. A Wisconsin man who legally changed his first name to D's Nuts has been arrested for allowing a violent domestic confrontation.
Oh, boo. But that name is hilarious.
D's Nuts Kroll, 42.
Not D's Nuts Kroll. I'm 12. That makes gonna make me laugh every time.
He was busted.
And did he bust that nut?
They busted nuts. They busted these nuts Tuesday night for battery and disorderly conduct. Both misdemeanors. Wow. Both misdemeanors?
Mr. Nuts.
According to criminal complaint, which includes a Green Bay Police Department officer's observation that these nuts appears to be highly intoxicated.
A word, the nuts was intoxicated.
Police allege Kroll punched and shoved his daughter and tangled with her boyfriend at East Walnut Street residence. Come on, man.
Who wrote this?
His street is named. Is he doing that on purpose? Well, he's like, I could live off of, Malcolm X Boulevard, but that wouldn't be as funny as if I lived on Walnut Street. According to the complaint, he accused his daughter of failing to do small household chores and care for their puppies. At one point, cops alleged Kroll, who was unencumbered by a shirt, pulled out a BB gun that resembled a pistol. He was booked into the Brown County Jail. He was released Wednesday after posting a $1,000 bond. Born with the first name Derek, he originally changed his name to D's Nut in T's Nuts in 2011. I know he thought that was so funny
at the time.
I wonder when does that get old? Like when you're at the ABC store and they're like, can I see some ID? And it's the 90 millionth time you've had someone make the reference to D's Nuts. Are you like, I just should change it back to Derek?
you'd have been better.
Then 6 years later, he successfully petitioned to add an E to his first name. Oh, because first it was Dez Nuts. Oh, he spelled it wrong. He had it Dez-Nuts from 2011 to 2017.
Oh, so it didn't have an extra E?
So it's even worse. That means every person was like, Dez Nuts? He's like, no, it's D's Nuts. No, it says Dez on here. Is your name Desmond? Is it short for something? No, it's D's Nuts. You know, like D's Nuts.
He's
you know,
fuck it. Let me just add the extra E.
Right. Let me get some of D's, and then you're supposed to say what? Then I go, D's Nuts. And then I pull out my ID, and I go, I'm D's Nuts. No, I don't. It says Des Nuts. Fuck!
He got tired of that conversation instead of just not having D's Nuts as a name.
So he petitioned successfully to have it changed because it was not spelled right.
How you gonna have a joke and misspell the joke? That don't make sense, sir.
So stupid. It's so dumb.
Ain't it dumb?
What's wrong with him?
That one he let you probably had these nuts on a license plate tag. You know how you can personalize it? That's a probably rejected name.
I love that in 2011 he was like, this shit gonna be funny forever.
That's what he betted on forever.
There's never gonna be a time when I die.
This is not funny.
In the obituary, when they say here lies these nuts, everyone's gonna get a laugh. They're gonna get a kick out of this.
Talking about his daughter not doing doing shit around the house. Look at your name, sir.
Right, your daughter can't respect you. Your name is these nuts.
Right.
You're not my daddy.
My dad named Derek. Right. Who is you?
Right. You do what your father tells you to do. Who's my father? D's? What you call me? D's Nuts? Oh, my goodness.
You know, they had that conversation thousands of times.
Right. Do I look like Boo Boo the Fool? No, you look worse. You look like D's Nuts.
Yeah, you like D's Nuts. And I don't know if the mama's there or the wife or girlfriend, whatever, you know, but particularly if they not together, it was like, who was your last boyfriend? I don't even want to say.
Right.
That's not important.
He kept asking me if I would go down on these nuts, and it was just weird.
Ah, yeah, I got tired of it, girl. Yeah.
All right, Karen, guess the race of these nuts, Lee Crow. Yes, right, he kept his middle name Lee.
Oh, no! Yeah. These nuts, Lee Crow!
Yeah.
I'm going white.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe about these nuts.
What about these nuts?
Let's see what y'all... Let's see what guesses y'all put in y'all mouth. Okay. Maybe you need to get it off your chest. Spelled it with a Z, black. Middle schooler brain black. Too much low-hanging fruit here, so I'm going to just say white. He definitely black. Have to imagine this is a bro, not a bruh. This is Floyd Black. The correct answer is... This is so niggerish, says Black Rob. The correct answer is, Karen said white. Most of y'all said black. And Karen, you're right. He's white. Many of you missed it, so I got to boo you.
This sounded like a fucking dude bro type of shit to do. And particularly when you said the name, there was no clues that the name was like a black sounding name kind of around it. Mm-hmm. And particularly when you said his middle name, I was like, no, this is 100% white.
Well, you were right. I mean, no one can argue that.
Well, that was where my logic came
in. Yeah, of course. I mean, you were right. There's nothing, yeah. I like you. I appreciate you explaining it. But, oh, my God. What a terrible idea.
What a horrible idea.
These nuts. Oh, my goodness. Now these nuts in jail, you know? See these nuts in court. It's just, I know this is.
It's a mess.
I mean, honestly, how can a jury not be biased against you when they find out the defendant's name is these nuts? I'm like, yeah, jail, please. I don't even care what it was. Traffic ticket, these nuts goes to jail.
Yeah, they do.
All right, we got to do sword ratchetness, and then we'll wrap up.
When I found out I could get my final permanent teeth in 1 week, I was sold.
D5.
What the fuck?
Oh, one of them other fucking things up underneath that you don't see just running.
Yeah, I thought a news article was going to play, but it won't load. So, whatever. I guess I'll just have to read this bullshit.
No problem.
I was like, once the teeth started coming up, I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess we're not talking about that. Yeah, it doesn't like it want to play.
Aw, boo.
Oh, wait. Maybe it'll play now. Oh, okay. I think it's playing. Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me see if I can pull it back on screen, everyone.
Go ahead. And
get it going.
You just had a problem loading the first time.
Yeah, I think it was messed up with the D's. These nuts. Okay. Oh, now the sound. Oh, I know why.
The home on West First Street. A sentencing.
Okay. What's going on with this music? Always number two. Oh, this thing down here. God
yes,
damn.
Yes, it plays that second.
No, all right. I promise we're a professional podcast. All right, 25 seconds. It's all this article is.
Back. Today is a Mario day.
What?
Accents aside, a day.
What just happened? This is not the article that was playing before this.
Today is Mario Day.
What the fuck? This is chaos. Now it's going to play the art. Okay. The ad again. Now this thing's going to come populate down here again.
You probably have to mute that bullshit because it sounds like it likes to play on its own.
Yeah, it's like some type of weird autoplay. Now that I'm looking at it, it won't autoplay. What the fuck?
Right. You go up and above.
All right.
Okay, because this is what it should be.
See, it's doing it.
It's programmed to do that.
God damn it, son of a bitch.
It's programmed to do that. I don't know why. Stop it.
Killed Michael.
All right.
Well, a jury found a man guilty of two counts of murder after he attacked three people in 2022 with a sword. at a home in Marion. Prosecutors say Jonathan Dishner killed Michael Sandlin and Dennis Johnson in February of 2022. Police say both men had multiple cuts on their bodies. The owner of the home survived the attack. They say Dishner had been living at the home on West 1st Street. A sentencing hearing has not been scheduled.
Man, these motherfucking sword people. You can't even let them live in your house off charity.
Mm-mm.
Next thing you know, you on the motherfucking, you know, other end of a sword, the business end.
Right? No, thank you.
All right, that's it for today's show. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed this. Those that stayed up late, we appreciate y'all.
We appreciate y'all, chat room.
And, yeah, we'll be back throughout the week. Until next time, I love you.
I love you, too. Mwah.